So this is where we left off last week here in the lifestyles class, the Tuesday evening lifestyle class, with the names of Krishna as given by Sanjaya. And Sanjaya is narrating the Bhagavad Gita. He mentions certain names of Krishna, and then Arjuna is talking to Krishna, and he mentions certain names of Krishna as well. And there are 41, I think, different names of Krishna by which he's addressed in the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes the names are used repetitively, but every time a new name comes up, I gave it a number here. And we ended last time with the name Keshava. O killer of the Keshi demon, I am now unable to stand here any longer. I am forgetting myself and my mind is reeling. I see only misfortune. And last week we mentioned about how the mentality of the Keshi demon is a mentality of pride, and it even creeps into the devotional community, whereby one is thinking, I'm a greater devotee than all other devotees and all other acharyas, and so I'm entitled to various opulences. And when Arjuna addresses Krishna as Keshava, Arjuna is asking Krishna to remove pride. And there may be a little bit of pride in Arjuna right now, because he's a friend of God. And if you were the friend of God, I mean like a personal friend, yeah, you'd be blowing on your fingernails and rubbing against your lapels as well. But Arjuna understands intuitively that if he's going to get the enlightenment that he needs in order to be able to put aside his weakness, he's going to have to adjust to a different relationship with Krishna right here and now. Before they're talking as friends on an equal level, and Arjuna realizes that he's going to have to now subordinate himself to Krishna as a disciple. And so, as a preface to that, he calls Krishna Keshava. So basically he's asking Krishna, remove me of the false pride that comes from my station, and give me humility so that I may subordinate myself to you and then receive the message that you're going to present to me. So this is the sixth name here. Again, we're still in the first chapter. This is the sixth name by which Krishna is called. And the verse is in the 32nd verse. Arjuna says, O Govinda, of what avail to us are a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself? And Arjuna is basically asking here, why should we even want worldly things when I have your affection? I am your friend. And if you're the friend of God, you know, why should you fight for worldly things? A big battle is about to take place. A kingdom's at stake. And Arjuna is asking the ontological question, do we have to fight? I mean, basically, our kingdom is not of this world. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're my friend. Even if I don't get the kingdom, everything will be supplied. We just came out of the forest. We were 13 years in the forest, and you always protected us. So what difference does it make? I mean, as long as you're here, and as long as I have attachment to you, why should I fight? You know, And also, Krishna is being called Govinda by Arjuna because Arjuna understands that Krishna is in his heart and Krishna knows his own feelings. He knows his own senses. He knows his own needs. And he'll always satisfy him. Even when they had nothing in the forest and they had no soft bed to lay their heads and they were going from place to place, being harassed by their enemies and having to be always on the watch for wild beasts and all, they always felt satisfied within their hearts. Because no matter how many dangers you're in, if Krishna is on your side, you always feel safe. You always feel safe and satisfied. And so, they're still talking on this friendly level. They're still talking on this friendly level. In other words, Arjuna is saying, if I'm your friend, what do I need anything else for? But there's something more to come here, and that is that Krishna wants something accomplished. He wants something accomplished. He's got a mission. And he wants Arjuna to be an instrument in the fulfillment of that mission. So it's time for friendly talks to stop. It's time for Arjuna to say, Lord, how do you want to use me? Instead of acting as Krishna's friend. Now, again, this is another word by which Arjuna addresses Krishna. This is the seventh different word in the Bhagavad Gita, Madhusudan. Arjuna says in the 34th verse, O Madhusudan, why should I want to kill them, even though they might otherwise want to kill me? In the beginning of creation, I believe it's from the nostrils of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the creator of the universe. And when he was creating good things, he also created, what? Bad things. Bad always comes with the good. So there were two demons named Kaitava and Madhu, and they stole the Vedas from Lord Brahma's mouth. So there was a danger that transcendental knowledge would be lost to human society. And it says that Krishna killed the Madhu demon and retrieved the Vedas. So Madhu is a represents doubt. Whenever Krishna is called Madhusudan, he's referred to as the killer of the Madhu demon. And Arjuna now is plagued by the demons of doubt. Should he fight? Should he not fight? Should he continue talking to Krishna on a friendly level? Or should he surrender himself to him, to Krishna as a disciple? Now, Arjuna has these various demons of doubt that are plaguing him. And so he asks Krishna, can you please resolve these difficulties? Can you please clear up this this fogginess? And in the scripture, Brahma Vavarta Purana, it says that if one remembers Madhusudan against great difficulties or amidst great difficulties, then his difficulties turn into opulences. So however great your demons are, they're not so great that Krishna can't take care of them. It's like a child. A child, you know, is in their room at night and they see the boogeyman and they're scared of what's in the what's under the bed or what's in the closet, you know, or the shadows that are moving across the ceiling from the wind blowing the trees outside. He's all worked up about it and gets himself into a state, and then mom comes in and pets his brow and says a few soothing words to him, shows him there's nothing in the closet, and crawls under the bed with him and points out it's just trees blowing. And then the whole thing, the whole atmosphere, which seemed threatening, all of a sudden becomes comforting and benign. So what is, you know, when the child gets on that point of being overwhelmed by their imagination, then the adult who has more experience comes in, and what is overwhelming for the child is nothing for the adult. So Krishna is called Madhusudan here because compared to mortals, compared to us living beings who have a very, very finite perspective, he sees the big picture. Here's a picture I found online. If you're just hearing the audio, you can't see this, but this is a kind of a nice ancient picture here of Lord Brahma on the left-hand side, and then you see the two demons, and Krishna is looks like he's engaged in hand-to-hand combat with one of them, and that one is presumably Madhu. It doesn't say that he killed Kaitava, but it does say that he killed Madhu. So here he is.
And
Vaibhavi is the artist, and she's coming, getting a closer look at it. Now, the eighth name of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is Janardhan. The verse is, O Janardhan, what pleasure will we derive from killing the sons of Dhritarashtra? Janardhan means he who protects his devotees. Arjuna is quipping here. If you come to protect the devotees and annihilate the miscreants, then you do it. You do it. There's still that, you know, parody. There's still that little pride on the part of Arjuna. He's saying, well, Krishna, if you said that you come to protect the devotees, and so you said that you come so that you can protect the devotees and you can annihilate them. So now you do it. Because I don't want to have to do your job for you. I don't, especially when it's my cousins and teachers and friends and people to whom I owe respect. So he's kind of like, you know, okay, well, if it's such a big deal, you're God, and you can do it, right? Why are you asking me to do this tough thing? And the answer is, yes, Arjuna is Krishna's friend, and he didn't get to be his friend by being picked out of a lottery. He didn't get picked out of a hat. He became Krishna's friend because he had the best character of any other of the souls. Krishna, you don't get to be Krishna's friend without having super excellent character. And you don't get to have super excellent character unless you allow God to work on your character. If your aim in life has all kinds of comforts, you won't get character because they're opposed to each other. So Arjuna's a warrior, and he's used to austerity, he's used to training, he's used to sacrifices, he's used to discipline. And so those are the kinds of qualities that have elevated him up to the highest position of being a personal friend of the Lord. But now it's not time, after all that, it's not time to like be comfortable, you know. The character, it's almost like life is full of lessons. And if you don't learn a lesson, you'll have to repeat the class and learn it. And when you do learn a lesson, you don't get to sit and relax, because there's always another lesson right after the first one to learn. Because the Lord always wants you to build more and more character. He always wants you to shine more and more jewel-like. And so the answer to the question that Arjuna is asking is, why don't you do it? Is because Krishna's character is already perfect. He doesn't have to do anything, because his improvement is not the issue here. The issue is our improvement. And so that's why the Lord empowers us to do things so that we can be better for it. Otherwise, he does it, he doesn't do it, it makes no difference to him. He kills the demon, he lets the demon live, you know, it's nothing to him. It has a great impact on us, but it's nothing to him. Now, here's a name that's been used before, Madhava. Madhava means the husband of the goddess of fortune. Okay? Now, as the husband of the goddess of fortune, Krishna should not induce Arjuna to pursue a course which would bring misfortune. That means most of us get security, we get comfort, we get love. Most of the good things in life that we enjoy come from family. You know, you feel comfortable in your family. They know you, they cut you some slack, they don't look for your faults. And if they do, it's in a loving way. There's a presumption of love and concern there. And without family, there cannot be any really, really good things in life. Married men live longer. Married men and women live longer. People live longer in families. People, if you have a business and you get your children to run the business, you're going to be a step ahead of the game other than have to pay all kinds of employees who may not have your interests at heart. They may not work very hard or enthusiastically. They insist on a high salary. They may steal from you. You're much better off if you just have a family business. And the family members will work, if necessary, to get it off the ground. They'll work without salary. And you can always trust them not to steal from you. But if you take family out of the equation, it's very hard to enjoy life apart from family. And so Krishna says, Arjuna says to Krishna, you are the husband of the goddess of fortune. How can we have good fortune if we kill our family members? How can there possibly be good fortune out of killing our family members? We should be... Family is like... they protect each other. They stick together against the outside world. Now, you're asking me to destroy those very people with whom we shelter against our outside enemies. So how can that be productive of good fortune? Now, it also means, by calling Krishna Madhava here, he also means in the greatest misfortune that he could never be lost. Now, that means also that if there's a double meaning, there's a double entendre here. One is that how could good fortune come from killing our family members? But the other meaning is, no matter what misfortune befalls us, as long as we're in Krishna consciousness, we will feel ourselves fortunate. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yam labdha chaparam labdha, manyate nadikam daraha. It says, even if the greatest misfortune befalls one, but one is thinking of Krishna, one takes it as an opportunity to learn something and to become better. Things that would just crush other people and leave them shaking their fists at God and gnashing their teeth and saying, why did you do this? Those who are in God conscious, when the misfortune comes, they say, what am I supposed to learn from this? What opportunity does this present for me? One lady who visited us, she was here for the yoga retreat. Her name was Malti, with her husband from North Dakota. And so they asked to talk to me for a few minutes after the Sunday feast. And so she told me her problems, that she couldn't get a job, you know, because of her visa situation. She was very qualified. Many times she'd gone through the application process, she'd gone down to the final interview, she'd passed the final interview, but then they told the company, you have to sponsor her visa. And then they all chickened out at the last minute and said, over and over and over again, for 2 years it's been going on. Not for any lack of qualification, because no company wants to sponsor her visa. And then she couldn't have any children. She was saying that, you know, we've tried and we've tried and we've tried and don't have any children. So why Krishna's doing this? And first I said, well, He's not your servant, you know. He's not here just to like, I want a child, I want a job, and let me just bring that to you right away. Hold on, you know, I'll hurry up as fast as I can. You know, we have to get out of the mentality of God appearing to us on our terms. A God who would appear to us on our terms and do our bidding would be such a small God you wouldn't want to worship Him anyway. And so I said to her, I said, look, you want to know why God is doing this? Because He's working on you. He's working on you. He's making you better. And think of the things that you can do now. If you don't, child will come. You know, visa will come sooner or later. Either your own child or your adopted child. Eventually the job will come, the visa will come. But what are the things, not getting your visa, not getting your child, what are the things that you can do now that you would not otherwise be able to do if you had to take care of a child or you had a job? And she said, well, I'm chanting every day and reading. And I said, there you go. There you go. How many people with a job? Not most people, they have a job and a kid. Right? And even with one of those, they don't get time to execute their spiritual life unless they're very expert. What to speak of two? So instead of questioning God, why don't I have a job? Why don't I have a kid? Why not thank Him that He's giving me a period of my life in order to develop spiritual strength? So that when I get a job, and you will eventually, and when I get a kid, and you will eventually, I'll be a better employee and I'll be a better mother. So think of it as that. What could I do in these circumstances that I would not otherwise be able to do if my wishes were fulfilled? So the ninth name by which Krishna is called in the Bhagavad Gita is Varshneya. And he's called that in this verse here, the 40th verse. Quote, Arjuna is making his reasons why the fight is best avoided. Quote, when irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of women, O Varshneya, comes unwanted progeny. That's an undeniable fact. They come, Krishna and Arjuna come from a noble, hallowed, ancient dynasty called the Vrishni dynasty. And the dynasty is preserved mainly because of the chastity of the women. You know, the good, chaste, faithful womanhood, they produce good, strong progeny, you see. Now, if you kill all the husbands of the women, then they will become widows and their children become orphans. And that will seriously damage the tree, the lineage of the Vrishni dynasty. There are rural responsibilities referred to here. A king has responsibility to all the citizenry, but in so much as the kings and the warriors are charged with the protection of the innocent citizens and the peaceful conducting of business in society, if you allow the warrior class to degrade due to this fratricidal war, then basically you're allowing all of society to go down the drain. Because unless you have an ideal class of men as a king, then who's going to have model behavior to follow? And we're seeing that nowadays. You know, peanut farmer, when I was a kid, a peanut farmer got elected president of the United States. And then we had an actor, you know. And now we have someone else, you know. And we don't find people modeling ideal behavior in the executive branch of the government. And if they don't model ideal behavior, then who else is going to follow ideal behavior? So there are royal responsibilities referred to, and those royal responsibilities will hardly be executed if the warriors who are charged with protecting the citizenry are killed in this battle. Thus, Arjuna is reminding Krishna of the great dynasty of which they are a part, and the fact that that dynasty will all but be annihilated if they engage in battle. And we move to chapter 2. Here's a name for Krishna in the beginning of chapter 2, the first verse, which has been used before, Madhusudan. Sanjaya, again, is narrating the Gita. And he says to Dhritarashtra, Madhusudan, Krishna, spoke the following words. Now, Madhusudan, Sudan means kill, and Madhu is the name of a demon. So Krishna is very good at killing the demoniac. And you know, Sanjaya doesn't use this word by accident. He's narrating Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is sons of the ones that are trying to usurp the kingdom. And he uses this word, Madhusudan, to Dhritarashtra. And he's telling Dhritarashtra, you know, Krishna kills demons very easily. You think your demoniac sons are going to beat Krishna? Krishna has killed so many demons in the past, he's going to kill your sons too. Even though they're out, they have more soldiers than the Pandavas, even though they have great warriors like Bhishma and Dronacharya, Duryodhana and Ashwatthama, they're nothing. Krishna's killed so many demons. And he'll kill them also. So your sons are not going to win the war. They're not going to win the war. Just as Krishna has killed so many demons, and now he's going to kill the demon of Arjuna's doubts, and in a half an hour or so, when this conversation's over, your sons are going to be finished. They're living on borrowed time. And Sanjaya also knew that once Arjuna's doubts were dealt with, he was practically single-handedly capable of killing all the big warriors on the Kaurava side. And Sanjaya knows that from an incident that occurred when the Pandavas were in exile in the forest. One of the conditions of their exile was that they would live 1 year incognito. They had to go in exile for 12 years, and then the 13th year they had to also be in exile, but they had to be in incognito. And if anyone recognized them, then they would go into exile for another 12 years. So they went to the kingdom of Bharata, and they took various positions. Bhima became the cook, Nakula took care of the horses, Sahadev took care of the cows of the kingdom, Draupadi became a serving maiden to the queen, Yudhisthira became kind of like the court jester or something like that, and Arjuna became the dancing master. He became the dancing master of all the girls in the harem. Now, you couldn't be in a harem full of women unless you're a eunuch. I mean, obviously, you get the picture, right? You've got all the young girls, all the flower of the, and you don't send an intact man into the harem. Only people that would go into the harem were eunuchs. So that was safe. And the eunuchs would teach dance and different arts to the girls. Certainly Arjuna wasn't a eunuch, but for 1 year he had been cursed to become a eunuch. Previously, he lived with his father Indra in heaven. And one of the Heavenly Society girls named Urvasi took a liking to Arjuna. And when she first came to him, she said that they were the Pandavas, and one of their ancestors was Parava. And Urvasi, the Heavenly Society girls, live long, long time, tens of thousands of years, and they retain their youth much longer than on earth. So she said, I was the consort of Parava, like 1,000 years ago. And our son was this and our son. So, in other words, I'm one of the progenitors of your lineage. And as time went on, she developed an affection for him, not as a progenitor, but as, boy-girl type thing. So one day, she came into his chambers and she offered herself to him. And she was the most beautiful of all the heavenly damsels. Urvasi's beauty is celebrated. And Arjuna said, I can't, because all I can think about is you're my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, and that's like not the right thing to say to a gal, a girl, And then she was very, she felt rejected and very ashamed, and so she cursed him that you will be a eunuch for 1 year. And that served him well, because how would Arjuna, the greatest, most powerful warrior in the world, have remained incognito if he hadn't been cursed to be a eunuch? It's like trying to hide the sun. But he was not present in public during that year because he was in the harem with the girls. So nobody saw him. No members of the public saw him. But just at the end of the year's exile, Duryodhana attacked the kingdom of Bharata with Bhishma and Drona and all the great... They attacked because Bharata had a great herd of cows. He had the greatest herd of cows in the whole world. Certain purebred, thoroughbred strains of cows, and he put it together. And so they attacked, and they were driving the cows away, and they'd created a diversion. Their army, they'd created a diversion, and they'd drawn Virata's army off in a different direction a few days prior. So when the Kaurava army came in its entirety, there was no one there to stop them from taking the cows. No one there. And so Virata was beside himself what to do, and he had a little son. He had a 16-year-old son. What was his name? I forgot his name. Maybe it was Uttara. Maybe he had the same name as his sister. I'm not sure. And he said, I will go out and I will fight them, but I need a chariot driver. And they said, this is a 16-year-old kid. He can't do anything. And then he said, well, you know, we got to do what we got to do. You know, there's nobody else. So give him a chariot driver. And then what they did was they asked Arjuna if he would drive the chariot of Virata. So it's getting time. They asked Arjuna if he would drive and just finish up this story. Is there anyone here to teach yoga? Ram's coming. They asked Arjuna if he would drive the chariot of Virata. So Arjuna volunteered. And when they got inside of the army, the little boy started shaking. He dropped his mind. He says, I can't do this. You know, like had a reality check. You know, 16-year-old boy can't fight with Bhishma and Drona. Like, and Arjuna said, okay, I'll make you a deal. I'll fight them and you drive my chariot. And he said, well, you're a eunuch. You can't fight them. And he said, I'm not a eunuch. He says, I am Arjuna in disguise. And then the boy said, you're Arjuna. Oh, wow. And I get to drive your chariot. Cool. And so they went into battle. And Arjuna defeated all the great warriors. He defeated all the great warriors single-handedly. And the last weapon that he threw in their direction was a sleep weapon. They were fighting. In those days, you'd throw a fire weapon and then you'd counteract it with a water weapon. Back and forth and back and forth. So the last weapon that Arjuna threw was a sleep weapon. And Bhishma, Dronaj, they all went to sleep. And he went, while they were sleeping, he collected something like a scarf or an earring or a something, you know, a bracelet. He collected something from each and every one of them. And when they woke up, he showed all these things. And he said, see, I could have killed you, but I didn't. You know, I didn't. So in this way, Sanjaya is referring to Krishna as Madhusudan, who kills the demons very, very easily. And he knew that because Krishna, Arjuna, had already previously defeated the whole Kaurava army under these circumstances, that he was also going to He was capable of single-handedly defeating them in this contest as well. So next week we'll start with the 10th different name by which Krishna is addressed in the Bhagavad Gita. And this is in the second chapter, and it's called Arisudana, or killer of enemies.